I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep Dr. Lear for a half hour. There are many things we need to talk with him about, but we're going to open up the phone lines and take questions for Dr. Lear as well for the next half hour. Then after that, we'll get into our open lines. Back in a moment with Dr. Roger Lear, your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Roger, before we go to calls, let's take some time then and explain to us what you have up your sleeve, scientist Dr. Lear.
Well, I've taken the bull by the horns, and I'm trying to do the next best thing that we need to look at this on a scientific basis. We need an in-house enterprise, a building, a piece of property, staffed with the right people, with scientists and physicians, who can really take a good, hard, scientific look, not only at the abduction phenomena, but implants or other pieces of physical evidence related to the UFO phenomena. And in order to do this, to buy a piece of property and put up a building and do all this, it takes money. Well, one of the ways I thought that we could possibly raise this money is to do a full-fledged big-screen motion picture. And I've started out, we formed a production company, myself and a partner, and it's called Unnamed Productions, and we've gotten a script writer who has a wonderful background in the entire UFO field. She's just absolutely marvelous. She's written a lot of really good stuff in the past. The script is almost finished, probably another month. We've done a 4-minute teaser, which I sent you a copy. You can take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And we think that the teaser is real good, and that's what it is. It's 4 minutes, and it shows you a bit about what the film is going to be about. And we have our very own Ross Mitchell doing a marvelous narrative for this piece.
Oh, that's great.
So this is not a documentary. This is something different. This is an entertainment piece, and it's to simply raise the money. We're going to take all the funds derived from the film. We're going to put it into a nonprofit, and we're going to build a physical plant to study this subject the way we should. And if somebody would like to get involved on the ground floor, we just need a little bit more seed money. For $500, which is totally tax deductible, they can make a contribution, and we will gift them back a 1/8 of 1 point share in the production company, and that will get them 1/8 of 1 point over a 20-year period that the film earns money, and that's domestic and foreign rights and DVD and so on. We've gotten a good distribution plan already. We have some major Hollywood people that are interested in the movie, both in production and performing in it. I'm not free to mention names, but we're real excited, and if this is done, I talked to Bud Hopkins about it. He's just tickled to death. I'm going to be back there April the 8th and do a presentation at the Intruders Foundation in New York City. And he would love to cooperate, and so would David Jacobs and some of the other folks. I know Richard probably would be very interested as well.
What if somebody just wants to donate to the cause, in especially the portion of the facility?
Well, they can certainly do that. All they have to do is make a check payable to ANS Research. And as I said, it's a fully-fledged 501c3 nonprofit. Call my 805 number, 805-495-2613. Talk to my secretary. They'll give you all the information as to where to send the check, and we'll send you back the official documents.
What is science saying nowadays, Roger, about these implants? I mean, is anybody coming to the table with you saying, you know what, there's something very strange here? Do you even get government agents showing up at your doorstep trying to get this sample?
I haven't had any government agents, but I have a lot of other material that's non-surgical that I worked with in relation to the abduction phenomena. And also, in 1997, we had a piece of material that was believed to have come from one of the crash sites near Roswell in 47. And I worked on that, and there was a lot of strain. That's a whole complete show in itself with this Roswell material. It's just absolutely hair-raising, talk about interference and threats and so on. But on the implant stuff itself, the only things that have happened to me personally are very, very subtle. In other words, don't stick your neck out too far, kid, or you might get it chopped off.
I understand. Let's take a few calls here, Roger. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Roger Lear. Hi there.
Hi, this is Paul from Hayward, California.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had an MRI done last September, and it showed a piece of metal right over my pituitary gland. And one shot, it shows it looks like a little triangle, and the next shot, it looks like a P. And I have no idea where it came from or anything else.
What did they tell you, the medical folks?
They just told me, you know, first they thought it was something else, and that's why they did the MRI. And then they still said the same thing, and they didn't know.
You ever?
There's no scars or anything like that on my head. Except for, you know, previous fights that I had a long time ago. But.
What does he do, Roger?
Well, in the first place, what is your relationship to the UFO phenomena? Have you ever seen anything or had a strange dream or missing time or anything?
Well, I've seen UFOs over the years, yeah. Several of them.
Okay, well, the next best thing is to get the MRI films. Now, that doesn't mean I want to see something on the computer. I have to see the films themselves, and I will take them to our radiologist and have them look at it and then get back to you. That's about the best I can offer.
How do people get a hold of you, Roger?
Well, again, simply call that wonderful 805 number, 805-495-2613. Either a service will pick it up or my secretary will pick it up, but we will get back to you.
All right, and I want to do you justice on your toll-free number. I want to make sure you're either giving out the right one or I've got the right one. One of us has got the right one, but I've got 800-700-97333, and you've got 800-700-8733, right?
Well, it's either 9 or 8.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, it's a toll-free number. Somebody fast blast me. Dial, if you would. This is a first on radio here, Roger, but we're going to make this work for you. This is for your book, UFO Crash in Brazil, I believe.
UFO Crash in Brazil and the brand-new one, second edition of The Aliens and the Scalpel.
Okay. Call both numbers, if you would, and then fast blast me with the results. You're going to either get a right number or a wrong one, and let me know which one it is. 800-700-9733 or 700-8733. Roger believes it's the 8733. He's probably right. It's his number, but I'm going off of some information that they've sent us, and it says 9733. So I want to make sure we get the right number out for you, Roger.
George, this is experimental radio.
Absolutely, and we're so efficient here. Let's go. Well, by the way, how do people know they've got implants in the first place? I mean, it's not every day that somebody knows they've got something in them because, you know, if it doesn't hurt them, for example, how would they ever know?
Well, number one, it could hurt. So if you have something that hurts, you want to
get it. Well, then that's obvious. That's obvious. Right.
Next thing is that you may see something that you didn't see there yesterday. All of a sudden, you wake up in the morning and there's a lump. A scar, a strange-looking mark of some sort. Might want to have that x-rayed. Number three, you could have a very strange dream, sort of like dream, which is very real, and you could remember something, putting something into you. Or you could have other conscious memory of something happening which you don't understand. So there are several different ways. One of the common ways that people know is by accident. They'll have, let's say, some sort of a mishap. One was a skiing accident, had an x-ray taken to the arm and the hand, And the radiologist looked at it and says, oh, you have a piece of metal there. Oh, no, I don't. Well, yes, you do. Here it is. And then suddenly they begin to put two and two together, and whammo, it turned out to be what they thought it was.
You know, Roger, I should have shown you this when I saw you a year ago, but I've got a little tiny scar on my forearm, and I can't, and the thing's about an eighth of an inch long, but it's a scar. And I cannot remember as a kid how I got it. Now, you know, we always get bruises and cuts and things like that. It's very possible something happened to me along the line. I just don't remember it. But it is a weird little thing shaped. It's got like a little shape to it. I mean, it's bizarre. But I should have shown it to you. The next time I see you, I'll have you take a look at it.
Yeah, and you're not that far away. So you can pop in, George, and we'll take a quick x-ray and see if there's anything underneath two cases I did. Oh,
that's just all I need to know. That this the talk show host of Coast to Coast is a Manchurian candidate alien implant from above, huh?
Yeah, and also you can broadcast live from the own your own operating table.
Or from my arm, because it may be a little transmitter. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Okay, sir. Go ahead.
First of all, this is so cool. I've been trying for a while to get on and finally did. Second of all, I have a question for Dr. Lear. Can these implants give someone abilities? Like with the magnetic field, I mean, would it affect your body's magnetic field?
You mean like superpower abilities, almost like Superman?
No, not like Superman, but like some ESP stuff, you know?
Hmm. Roger?
Well, I had a couple of people who we don't know whether it was due to the implant, but they were, let's say, psychically inclined. They could predict future events. One individual saw his own auto accident almost a year before it happened. And we don't know whether that's due to something that was in him that we removed or whether he had these abilities. But after it was removed, he hasn't had any further ability to do this. So it's possible.
Oh, because I had some missing time back in my early 20s. And I'd be like driving down the road, just not thinking of anything in particular. And all of a sudden I end up 20 miles down the road and I wouldn't know where I was or anything. And I was just wondering. It's a stupid question, but.
Well, no, it's not a stupid
question.
There are
no stupid questions. No, not at all.
If you want to contact me, again, the same phone number, 805-495-2613. I will be happy to send you a questionnaire, which is several pages in a package. Just fill those out and send them back to me, and we can somewhat determine what the possibility is that you might be involved. You sound very sincere on the phone, and I would be willing to do that for you.
Results are in, by the way, on your 800 number, Roger, and you are correct, 800-700-8733. That's 800-700-8733. So what they sent me was a typo, and so I'm glad we double-checked it for you. But according to operators, leave me alone, we're too busy.
And it's you know, we should have figured it out, George, because those last four numbers should be TREE, T-R-E-E.
Aha! Okay, you got it. And that's the 8. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is J.K. in Texarkana, Texas. Dr. Lear, do these people have anything in common? And does this metal radiate any kind of radio frequencies or any kind of frequencies that seem to be communicating somewhere? And do these people ever get reimplanted after you take it out?
Oh, boy.
And does Whitley Strieber, he's the first one I ever heard of talking about it.
Well, you're sure asking some really sharp questions, I want to tell you. What do they have in common? Well, the only thing I've really found that the people have in common is that they are more right brain. They may be artistic, original. We have a large number of abductees in Southern California now. That's kind of easy to understand since it's a very creative area of the country. And it has nothing to do with people making up stories, because they can be artists, painters, musicians, and so on. So that's one thing I found that seems to be quite common. And, of course, it's familial and generational. It runs through the family. Now, in reference to your second part of the question, do they radiate anything? Yes, we did found the last one case that we did where George was present during the surgery. We used a radio frequency detector. We took the patient out to an isolated area where there was absolutely no electromagnetic interference. We made a circle. We swept the area of the circle with a radio frequency detector. It wouldn't lock on anything. And when we put the patient in the middle of the circle, it locked on a frequency and then would oscillate back and forth between two frequencies. Both were in the FM band.
What were they? What were the frequencies?
I would love to tell you. I have it written down, and it's not in front of me. And rather than to guess, I would all I remember is that they were in the FM band.
What did they say? Did you make a graph of the sounds, or did they make a sound, or did they make a? I mean, how did you register that they were there?
The frequency detector that we used was a handheld battery-operated frequency, and it had a meter on it showing the strength of the signal.
Well, did you connect any sound or anything that where you could record if this thing was receiving a communication or emitting a communication?
No, sir, we did not. And I would have loved to have been able to do that, but it requires the equipment to do it. We tried to do that with one case where the object was emitting something we thought was a radio frequency, and I got sabotaged.
What do you mean?
Well, the fellow who was operating the equipment, for whatever the reason, didn't operate it properly and lost the data. And I found out later that I believe this was done on purpose.
Well, did these people ever have them reimplanted after they've been taken out?
Well, out of the 11 cases that I've done so far, we haven't had any case of reimplantation.
Well, did their health change while they had these things in them?
No.
No change in blood pressure, nothing brain waves or anything?
No, no detectable change whatsoever. We had several of them that were interviewed by our psychologist following the surgery. We had two of them who said in almost the same words that they had a newfound feeling of freedom. And I asked if this was just a release of the apprehension from having the procedure done, and the psychologist said no.
Do you think this is some kind of communications media receiving and transmission?
Well, I think these are, and nobody has the answers to all these questions. And if anybody says they do and they know it all, put your fingers in your ears, my friend, and run. In fact, one of the things we find is that when you think you're tracking down something, you wind up with more questions. But I believe there are devices for monitoring something, and I think my opinion, and that's all it is an opinion or a theory, is that they're monitoring genetic changes within our bodies.
Roger, I've got a whole bank of phone calls of people who haven't even had a chance to talk with you yet. You want to just wrap it up with the last half hour with me and just stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that. I don't have the heart to tell all of you to just get off the phone. You've been waiting too long. We'll keep you. Dr. Roger Lear will join us for the last half hour of the program. I'll be right back. Well, by the way, Richard C. Hoagland's Godman and E.T. DVD series available to you. Here's a toll-free number, 1-877-345-6222. That's 877-345-6222, or you can get the information on the enterprisemission.com website. Richard is also, the end of April, going to be at the San Francisco New Living Expo, and you can simply go to their website at newlivingexpo.com, read all about it. He is going to release some startling new material, and I'll just let Richard tell you about that come April. Back in a moment. Roger, what have been the various sizes of these implants that you've removed from people?
Well, I think probably the little rods that are covered with the biological coating all run around between 5 and 8 centimeters in length, and they're probably, for our listening audience, about as thick as a piece of pencil lead.
Oh, wow. And generally, whereabouts in the body are they?
Well, we've taken them out of arms, hands, feet, back of the neck, and the cheek, of course, the last one.
In some cases, do you try to ascertain, Roger, that these could be man-made objects, and somehow over the years this person has had this thing embedded in them for some reason, some way?
Well, we have a very strict set of criteria and protocols, George, before we ever take a case. And we always start with the negative assumption that this is something which is normal in nature, or something that people did to themselves or through some act of nature and so on. As far as the body producing anything like this, it's relatively impossible. But when you start with a negative assumption, you have to prove to yourself that this is a candidate for this kind of a surgery. So you have to eliminate a lot of ordinary criteria. In none of these cases where we've taken the metallic rods out have we seen any kind of a scar or blemish on the skin. But the ones that I talked to you about before, concerning yourself, where we did look at this, some of the strange skin lesions, we took x-rays, and underneath we could see a small, faint, round object. And these turned out to be little grayish-white balls about the size of a BB.
Huh. What is the criteria that you use primarily for individuals before
you
operate?
Well, we take a pretty good history as to whether there's any history of injury or trauma. For example, we went through a long thing with the last case because when I first got this case, the woman had gone to a dentist, and the dentist found this peculiar object which he thought was embedded in the gum. Now, we looked at it, and we took it to our dental consultants, and they kept ordering more x-rays and a Panorex. And finally, when we did the CT scan, we found it wasn't in the mouth at all, but it was in the cheek. And so you assume that when someone has an object, under the skin, because it was between the skin and the muscle of the cheek, that there would be a scar. Now, even something as small as 6 centimeters, there's going to be some kind of a scar. And we use magnification to look, at the whole face or the arm or the leg,
sure,
or wherever it happened to be. There's no scar. So how did it get there?
All right. To the phones we go. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Roger Lear. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Chuck. I'm calling from Florida.
Okay, Chuck, take it away.
Okay. Here's how it happened. About 15 years ago, I was riding up to Sebastian Beach with some friends to go surfing.
All right.
And we pulled over to the side of the road. And this is like country. There's no stores for miles. I'm talking about 50, 60 miles, nothing. Okay. We all got out of the truck. We had to do a little thing. And all of a sudden, we seen this thing go by, and it kind of like looked like a cigar shape. And it didn't make no noise, and the only noise it made, it sounded like boom, boom, boom. And the lights were tremendous, the colors. And believe it or not, that was it. And somehow, 4 hours got lost.
And what about the individuals? Did anybody have any implants or objects put in them?
I have something in my leg, okay? God knows where it come from. Ever since then, I have this, little lump on the side of my leg, on the left side of my leg.
Have you had it x-ray checked out?
No, I haven't. And that's not the only time I've seen these things. When I was young, I'm 45 years old. When I was 14 years old, I've seen a couple of them at night. And, I try to tell somebody, they think I'm nuts. They think I'm cuckoo. And, it's like, I don't know who to tell.
Well, Roger, what do you suggest, first of all, that he does for that little lump he's got on his leg?
Well, if he's curious and wants to investigate it and really wants to know, simply go have an x-ray taken, and I can tell you how to do this very easily. No matter where you are, if you're in a decent-sized area, there's got to be a chiropractor. And a lot of chiropractors have x-ray machines in the office. Excuse me. And if you go in and you just say, you know, you might have a foreign body in there, or you had, you know, your great uncle was a physician and you have a lump and you didn't have it before, you might have got something in it. Would you please take an x-ray, a real light view, and take it and get the film and send it to me?
Because there are objects in these people that you've had the surgery done on, why doesn't insurance pick that up? Not necessarily the analysis portion, but at least the surgery to get this thing out of them.
In certain cases, it would pick it up, but unfortunately, the cases that I've done, they've either had HMOs, Kaiser insurance, or none.
Yeah, I can understand. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George. This is George from Pittsburgh.
Sure, George. And welcome to the show, sir.
Sure. Maybe you'll be able to suggest an answer to Dr. Lear when I ask this question. Dr. Lear, I looked at your photographs on the screen, and one of them, it looked kind of a nail shape in a way, with a rounding or a protrusion on one end.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned one of the callers ago that you saw two FMA singles, frequency modulated singles, in some way picking up in that circle. Was that, and it looks like a communication device, was that one of the devices that that sent out the singles, or one of the more triangular protrusions on? What style device sent out these FM signals? And then the other thing on that is, if it's sending out two FMs, you're kind of sending out what I'd call a scalar wave, particularly since the body, I understand biologically, is double wound, which would have the capacity of an electromagnetic effect to send out a scalar wave. And then I also understand if you can do that, you can go, if it's compounded, about 4 seconds across the universe would mean that my body could put out a pretty good signal. What do you think?
Well, obviously, you know a lot more about electronics than I do. Yes, that was the object that was putting out the two frequencies. And yes, what you're saying from what little I know about electronics is absolutely true. However, we also have to take in consideration that the object itself might not be generating the signal, but it could be bouncing the signal, and it could also be producing a harmonic. So it gets more complex. But if we have the equipment to really look at these things in depth, and that's, you know, one of the reasons I have a wanting to get into operation in a place where somebody could come, we could run all these kind of tests. My gosh, you know, just looking at abductees themselves, you know, who looks at things like electrolyte levels, hormone levels? You know, what are the changes that occur in the body? And what about the non-biological stuff? There's a tremendous amount of material where there are repeated abduction encounters involving buildings, houses, materials, roofs, metal materials, magnetic anomalies, all these things that could be looked at if we have the proper facility. And what you point up is of a very, very interesting fact. I wish I had somebody, you know, here with your electronic abilities.
Roger, do we know if the late Barney and Betty Hill ever had implants?
That's a very good question. And, you know, I've never asked that to Stan or Linda or anybody else that had anything to do with Betty and Barney Hill. That's a good question, and maybe we can ask around and find out if they ever mentioned anything like that.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. Thank you, George, for taking
sure.
the call. Hi, Dr. Lear.
Hi there.
I have a question. My husband, about every 6 to 8 months, on his right wrist, his hair is shaved. Right by the thumb, right there, in just the one spot. It's like a round circle, and the hair is gone.
Every 6 to 8 months, you mean?
Yeah. And
That's
and
weird.
Right around at the bottom of my neck, you know, right where your brain stem is, the hair will not grow at all. It's just as short as can be on me.
Well, there are some physiological or pathological conditions of the skin in which you can have periodic hair loss. And
No. It's been shaved.
You mean it'll grow back? It'll grow back and then it'll get shaved again?
It'll start growing back.
And what you don't know, of course, is when and who is doing the shaving.
Right. Has this ever happened, Dr. Lear?
Well, I've never heard of this particular thing, but as I said, if you are somehow related to the phenomena, if you have strange dreams of somebody messing with you, maybe you're involved, maybe you're not. Maybe, as I said, we always try to look for the reasons within the physiological norm.
Well, I'll just go to a chiropractor and take an x-ray.
You can always do that,
yeah.
And if there's
anything
present there, I'd be happy to look at the film.
What are some of the symptoms for people, Roger?
Well, number one, if you're talking about localization of foreign objects, you can have pain. And you might not have pain in that particular area because in certain cases you have pain that radiate elsewhere, which we call referred pain. So you can have pain, you can see lumps, you can see marks of something about the case that we did where the woman came in and she had this lump in her arm, and when you touched it, it moved. Now, I've got this on video, and still when I look at it, after it was surgically excised and I saw what it was, when I look at the video in retrospect, I mean, it still makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
Sure does. Let's go to our east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there. Wild card line, let's go to you. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I have a brief question here. My name's Cal, and I'm from Arkansas. And my question is for the doc. Have you ever found anything that looks like a chip, like a little microchip, embedded in, I'd say, around the back of the head?
Plain, simple answer is no. Nothing I've seen looks like any earthbound electronics. And I believe that what we're dealing with and the things that we have removed are a form of nanotechnology, which is very sophisticated, using atoms and molecular arrangements to produce some type of a device which will detect something within the body. And incidentally, not having to do with that, but I don't know if I ever mentioned the name of the film we're doing. For some reason, this just brought that into mind. It's called Earth Original Sin.
And what's the venue? Where are you going to play it? On a big screen? On TV?
Yeah, it'll be a big screen film.
So you're ready to roll on this thing. You're going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. As soon as I get that script, the next thing is to get the budget. And once we get the budget, we're going to try and look for funding outside the parameters of Hollywood. If you do it in that way, we can produce the film and produce what we want. Once you get involved with the Hollywood people, you lose it.
Do you want? Is yours more of a documentary or
strictly entertainment? But it's based on
reality.
On reality, based on the work that I've done and all the aspects of the UFO phenomena, from crop circles to cattle mutilations, secret societies, a cabal. I can tell you a little hair-raising story if we got time to do this. It just takes a minute.
Go ahead.
Our writer, our script writer, who was writing the script. I wanted to think of a name to use, a fictitious name for the secret cabal. And so she called me up and she said, I thought of the name International Cowboys. And she said, how's that sound? And I thought about it and I said, well, that's interesting. Why don't you do a computer check and let's see if that's been used, if it's been copyrighted. So she does a computer check on it and she finds that there is one International Cowboys. They were a musical group who had one hit song in 1979.
I love it.
Now, wait a minute. Guess what the name of the song was.
I have no idea. What?
Are you ready?
Yep.
The Original Sin.
That's cool. Maybe you can use that as part of your theme in the movie, huh?
Well, it's not apropos
for what we want.
Oh, you can't use that kind. All right, let's go west of the Rockies. You're up. Hi there.
Hi, this is Al from Rifle, Colorado.
Rifle, go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I had a question. When I was in the Navy, I had a spot come up on the back of my neck, and I went and had it checked by a doctor, and he removed it, and it was about the size of a pea. It was perfectly smooth and white and very hard. Do you think that could be an implant?
Well, first of all, what did the doctor say to you?
Well, he just took it and put it in a bag and sent it to a lab, said, we'll let you know if it's cancer.
And that was it. Never heard from him again.
From him again.
Yeah, that's what we do. We take them out, make sure everything's okay. It's benign. Sew it back up. Patient's in good shape. Bye-bye. It's about the same size of what we removed from this object, but it wasn't white. It was yellow. But who knows? It could have been anything.
It was perfectly white and very hard, like a marble, you know?
Oh, usually one of the indications is how fast it got there. In other words, you go to bed one night, you wake up in the morning, and it's there. It wasn't there the night before.
Exactly. Sounds like a little bit of calcium, doesn't it, Roger?
Well, if it's extremely hard, one we did was I did with a dermatologist, and he said, oh, that's a calcifying epithelioma. So I said, I'll tell you what, you take the soft tissue part, and you can slice that up and look at that, and then give me the little hard ball. And I sent it out to about four laboratories, and guess what? There wasn't one drop of calcium material in it, and it wasn't the calcifying epithelioma.
And they had no idea what it was, did they?
Had no idea what it was. Never seen anything like it.
Well, the phone number for Dr. Roger Lear for his book, UFO Crash in Brazil, or the one we're talking about as well, The Aliens and the Scalpel, 800-700, that's really easy to remember, 800-700-9733, or 8733, that's right, I did it again, or 800-700-TREE. That's about the easiest way to remember this. And the website is, Roger?
Alienscalpel.com with one S, AlienScalpel.com.
What I'm going to do, Roger, because it's a very short segment, we have it edited down, I'm going to play at the end of the program tonight the surgery that I saw you, that I witnessed, of the young lady where you took this implant that pictures of on the coasttocoastam.com website, took them out of her cheek. We're going to play that surgery. Everyone, it's very fascinating. So we're going to play that at the end of the program, Roger. Thanks again, Roger Lear.
My pleasure. Take care, George. Have a good one.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. We've got full open lines for you. I'm going to open up a special topic hotline for some campfire stories, the scary type. I'll be back.